before you joined us, Nate genuinely nearly died. Trying to just Oreo, just an Oreo nearly killed him.
Did you watch him choke and not be able to do anything about it?
Exactly that. I maybe laughed more than I should have.
as it was happening, I could hear you going, "Oh, don't do that." Like, well, I'm not fucking doing it on purpose, you prick.
you do look a bit paler than usual.
Welcome to the Long Snapper podcast. This is Adam in the chair as usual. I have some friends with me. Pat's here. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm down bad, Adam, but I'm glad to be here. This is a lot cheaper than therapy.
This is why we're all here generally, isn't it? It does say, rather than saying Pat on my screen, it does say Crapsonville Saduers.
We'll get on to that.
I fear we might. Craig's here with the world's squeakiest chair and a very beautiful looking Dominica flag behind him. How are you doing, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good. It is a beautiful flag, isn't it? I was just listening to Pat and I was about to join him in his sorrows, and then you cheered me up talking about the flag because it's a beautiful thing. But sport's not great.
It's probably more beautiful thing in green than something else that we may talk about, I imagine.
Am I the only happy person here today? Oh. Is this what's happening?
Oh, I've forgotten you were here. Of course you're here. Well, if you're going to be here any week, it's going to be this week, isn't it?
I mean, we don't beat the Jags, so I've only got to turn up after we beat the Titans, which is happened twice this year.
That's true. In fact, everything came up Millhouse for you, didn't it?
It really did.
Other than the Texans, but we may come to that. I feel like this should be an AFC focused edition.
Let's just not talk about the NFC at all.
Gets my vote. I mean, I guess some NFC teams have played AFC teams, so we might have to touch on it. But other than that, yeah, why the hell not? Why should we talk about the NFC? Nobody really cares.
I mean, apart from probably the biggest game of the week, but we don't have to talk about it. I mean, when has that ever stopped us before?
That's right. I didn't get that as my review. So who gives a fuck?
I can't wait to discuss that Chargers Patriots game at length, which is why we're all here, I assume. No, I tell a lie. The reason we're here is mostly to have a quiz. Only one this week, spoiler. But Nate, you've got it.
I have. I hope. Yes. No, I have. It's been written for some time. And then things transpired, which meant I couldn't attend for several weeks. And then, but then I did attend, and no one else did. So,
you have me and Rob, for half an hour. Rob is going to come on again properly at some point. But
yeah,
Anyway,
that sounded really sarcastic, and I know it wasn't. But
no, it was meant to be a genuine yay, but I'm full of cold, so it just came out sad. Sorry, Rob. yay! God, that was
anyway. I'm gonna try and not cough my way through this. But we've got a quiz, boys. It's pretty simple. I've gathered a list of some of the more wild antics of NFL players and coaches, past and present. Wouldn't you know it? Most of them are Antonio Brown. So in traditional long snapper snarl, you fuckers are going to take it in turns to tell me if it's A, B or bust. It'll be a point for every correct answer. If you get it wrong, if someone else can steal the point and you're locked out of the next question the answer. I was going to do it as a snake, because Craig's here, but I'm not. What we're going to do, we can do, again, traditional long snapper bear. It's going to be, your name is the buzzer.
Well, so it's 50-50 A, B or bust?
Yeah.
And then it goes on offer.
yeah.
Classic. Why not? The classicest of classic meets.
If thanks for saying that. I had missed the line. If you get it wrong, obviously it's AB, so someone else can shout in. If it's not AB, I want you to tell me the player who the player is.
Ah, there we go.
There's always a catch, isn't there? There's always a catch.
It's not really a catch.
Not Quentin Johnson.
It's not so much of a catch as just a rule I didn't tell you about.
It's all right. Craig wasn't listening to any of the rules anyway, so to him, that statement won't have made any difference.
Anyway, we've got 20 questions. I don't think it's going to take that long to get through them. Question one, if you're paying attention, and who's on an airstrip?
I thought that was a didgeridoo.
It's either a didgeridoo or a low flying plane. I'm not sure.
That's the window open. I'll shut it. What happens when you're. I live in London, gents. We're not all in,
backwards
of nowhere.
It sounds like you're in Sydney with the didgeridoo out the window. As I can testify to having been to Sydney, is people just play didgeridoos. Everywhere, yeah. all the time. That's all they ever do.
Superb. Question one, then. This player climbed into a casket just to see how comfortable it was, and liked it. That's a good start.
Okay, Adam.
Adam,
I'm not unclear on the rules at this point. If I say bust,
if you say bust. And it's a bust, you don't have to give me the answer.
Okay, bust.
However, if you were to say AB and it was a bust,
I see.
The person stealing can only, or the other two have to come in with who the player is. It is a bust. It was Konrad Dobler.
Of course, yeah. That well-known man.
That is a point for Adam.
Well done, Adam.
I feel I really earned that point.
Yes, absolutely. Question two. This guy got caught in a hot tub with some of his daughter's friends. Some of whom may have been underage.
What's the age limit for being in a hot tub? Like 7?
I don't think that's the thing that was they were underage for, Adam.
Craig.
Shoot.
Not AB, whatever that one is. But do I have to know who the person is?
let me explain that a bit again for Craig. No.
But, yeah, lovely, good, done. I think I missed the end of it while I
was... We had your undivided attention for question one, clearly.
I don't know if he's taking a piss or not. I'm not sure.
It's hard to tell. Me or him?
Everyone.
Everyone. Craig, you are correct. The player is Mark Schmurer. That well-known player, I suppose. Question three. I threw furniture out of my 14th story in Miami condo. Patrick?
That was AB.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? We've all got a point, I think. Question four.
We're all doing better than Rich would be.
Question four. I ripped a player's helmet off, launched it across the field, and then flipped off the crowd as I left.
Craig. AB.
No. It was Kyle Turley. It was Kyle Turley. Oh, actually, no. I was supposed to leave it open for you guys. never mind. Question five. I painted my helmet to trick the NFL into letting me use it.
Adam? AB, well, yeah, I'm going to say AB because he tried to use an old-fashioned style of helmet, so I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. Question six. I was busted with 213 pounds of weed in my car before being busted
Craig.
With another... And go on, Craig.
Not AB.
That could be anyone.
That is correct. It was Nate Newton. Yeah, 4 weeks later, he was then busted with another £175.
That sounds like a lot.
Or that sounds like he sold the difference in between.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Pat, it's not a little bit.
It's like a whole Brandon Aubrey's worth of wheat.
Question seven. I went live on Facebook from the team's locker room and broadcast teammates Craig. Bare ass to the world.
Craig. AB.
It was AB. Question eight. This guy would have a trainer slap him in the face pre-match to help him psych himself up. Patrick.
Not AB. That was the Jaguars offensive lineman. I've forgotten his name.
I might give you a bonus point if you can tell me who it is.
I should know it as well. The person who slapped him was called Joe. That's not helpful. The backroom staff member is not helpful.
That's not who you're getting a point for. either of the other two of you know who it was? Not that you would, but you might. It's a bit weird. It was John Henderson.
That's a big John Henderson. God damn.
It's question nine. Got arrested for multiple DUIs and attempting to bribe police officers.
Adam? Bust. Bust is the word. That feels a bit Pac-Man Jonesy.
Bust is correct. It's Sebastian Janikowski.
Ooh.
Oh. <It's fun. laughs> Really? Wow.
Yeah. This is a phenomenal one. Question 10. This NFL Europe MVP got cut after missing a block.
It's clearly not AB. He didn't play in NFL Europe.
Yeah, you're right. It was Lawrence Phillips. He got cut after missing a block, which resulted in his QB's career being cut short, and then tried to run over some teenagers after a pickup football game.
Incredible.
That's a hell of a line, isn't it? Again, this one's probably a bit too easy. He called his GM a cracker.
Pat.
Craig.
Patrick.
That was AB.
Was AB.
That must have been Mike Mayock.
It was, yeah. Question 12. He cut off part of his little finger in order to continue playing football.
Adam.
Adam?
Bust.
Bust is correct. It was Ronnie Lott.
Oh, okay.
Question 13. Announced I was retiring because I was suspended before changing my mind 4 days later.
Craig.
Craig?
AB.
That is AB. Question 14. Got in trouble for flashing a hotel hall full of guests before tweeting, I'm telling every team that needs some offense to pick me up because I've shown that I still have the ability to expose AD.
That was AB.
That most certainly was AB. Question 15. Sent prostitutes to opposing players' hotel rooms the night before games and allegedly took bumps of cocaine on the sideline during games.
Craig. Bust.
It was Travis Henry.
Oh, good old Travis with his 11 kids. 11 kids with 10 different mothers, I think. Something like that.
That was a question until I accidentally stumbled upon that bit of information. I got arrested for throwing a shoe at my ex-fiance.
Adam? That's bust. I mean, it sounds like David Brent trying to...
No, that was AB.
Oh!
Devastating.
Yeah, oh well. Question 17. Got arrested for not paying child support before settling out of court for more than double the missed payments.
Craig? Bust.
That was also AB.
The percentage guess is not bust, is it?
I feel like I would have heard the child support thing, but then maybe you've heard about everyone.
There's so much to hear about with him, isn't there?
Question 18 is, I went by the alias Ron Mexico in a civil court case involving genital herpes.
Ah.
Patrick.
Bust.
I'm too busy that laughing to buzz.
That is bust. It is Michael Vick.
Oh.
Got sent to prison for 2 years after shooting myself in the leg with an unregistered firearm.
Craig.
Adam.
Craig.
That was Craig first.
That's bust. That's got to be Plax.
Plaxico Burris, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm so happy that you knew who it was as well. And finally, question to Hinty. Announced that I was joining the Ravens on day 2 of the NFL draft, just as a wind-up.
Craig. Bust.
Oh, it's AB.
I don't remember him being crazy at the beginning.
No. That was this year.
Last draft.
Oh, this last draft. Oh, got ya. That makes more sense.
I thought you meant during his draft. Yeah, that's the joke would have landed before the Steelers picked him, would it?
It would be great. In that case, not in NFL style, Pat and Greg, you can both have some music.
Woo-hoo!
You both get 6 correct, and Adam got 4. Ooh. And I've run out of questions, so oh well.
Did you just call me Greg?
No, I called you Greg.
I thought that.
My biggest bugbear. Shout out to Greg, but I go to on the rare occasion that you go to like a coffee shop and they write your name, you say Craig in the cup, says Greg on the throw it at them.
No.
Who do I look like at Craig?
I am aware of the fact that Craig is a name that exists.
Good man.
And I'm not a Hmong. Or American.
That always makes me think of there's a meme with somebody's Instagram post from Starbucks, and it's a picture of their cup, and the caption says, "I told them my name was Mark with a C," and the cup says it's got CARK on the cup.
That's because working in a coffee shop is boring as fuck, and you've got to entertain yourself somehow.
I'd like to think so. Also, like it's a name on a coffee mug, like.
But it's my name, thanks.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You don't get it.
I get it. My name's Foxcroft. It's misspelled all the time. All the time.
Doesn't even sound like the trot.
I've lost count of the amount of times I've had phone calls. They're like, "Hi, is that Mr. Arrow?" No. No, and I'm sorry, but if you're going to call me that, I'm not even going to help you out by going, "Do you mean all right?" I'm just going, "No, you've got the wrong number." Fuck off.
if only I was called Patrick Jackson. Nobody could ever get that name wrong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, first day at A-levels, I was Patricia Johnson on the register, but gloss over that.
that sounds like a
the teachers got mad at me for not replying. I was like, well, neither of those are either of my names, so how am I meant to guess?
Patricia Johnson.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like an episode title, if ever there was one. moving on, let's review some games that happened last week. One sentence reviews. Are we ready? Because we're going to do it anyway. Starting with Seattle 35, Dallas 41.
Dallas defense decided to take a week off here, with Seattle pushing the Cowboys far closer than anyone would have expected. Dallas still managed to come out on top.
Denver 17, Houston 22.
Did anybody else have Nico Collins being the standout player this week? No.
No. LA Chargers 6, New England 0. My kind of football game. I hope I get the DVD for Christmas. Detroit 33, New Orleans 28.
The Lions raced out to a 21-point lead in the first quarter and survived a spirited Saints comeback thanks in part to an injury to Derek Carr.
Atlanta 13, New York Jets 8.
Oh, that's me. Sorry. A shit ton of rain. A shit ton of flags. Not a lot else. Certainly not points.
Arizona 24, Pittsburgh 10. reached the stage of the season that Mike Tomlin can't paper over the cracks anymore. They're more like canyons now anyway. Indianapolis 31, Tennessee 28.
The ineptness of this game is summed up in the following sequence. Titans punt blocked. Steward recovers and runs in for a touchdown for the Colts. Ryan Stonehouse is injured on the play. Colts two-point conversion attempt. Minshew intercepted by Hooker, who returns it for a pick two. 22-19 Indianapolis. Ridiculous.
That wasn't even the worst that was to come. Miami 45, Washington 15.
When they are firing all cylinders, they really look like a team that's unplayable. On his day, I'm not sure you can cover Tyreek with two guys.
Carolina 18, Tampa Bay 21. Stay patient, Bryce. Better days will come, probably. Cleveland 19, LA Rams 36.
Another defense.
Your face, absolute horror once you realised. That was Haaland's face at the referee on Sunday. That was that exact face. Carry on.
Thanks, Adam. Another defense not able to reach its lofty heights. QB play did not help here, and the Rams were able to find some rhythm early and look in control for large parts of this contest.
I thought you were going to praise Matt Stafford for a second. San Francisco 42, Philadelphia 19.
And then there were two.
Kansas City 19, Green Bay 27. Lots of long drives meant that KC didn't get the ball very many times, and Green Bay's excellent start meant they controlled this game. Jordan Love looks better by the week. And finally, Cincinnati 34, Jacksonville 31.
What a bizarre, bizarre game. If you haven't watched the game in a 40, you really should.
There you go. One sentence reviews. Flawless as ever. They're never going to be flawless. I don't want them to be flawless. Should we start with Monday night? Because we said it most recently, and it's most recent in my memory. What a bonkers game.
Yeah, if we can get it out of the way so I can enjoy the rest of the podcast, that'd be great.
Sure.
It was such a weird one. And God, there's no feeling. We don't have many Monday night football games in Jacksonville, right? So I'm not used to the experience of going to bed at 5 a.m. having lost in overtime. And
isn't it your first really in miserable 15 years or something ludicrous? Why is that?
Something like that. Because we've been shit for 14 out of 15 years. And there's a small market team that doesn't bring that big of a TV audience, I guess. You know, because the Jets have been shit a lot of that time as well, but they bring a lot of fans to the game. So, you know, it was a weird one. And like pre-match, it was fairly clear early on that Jacksonville's defense was playing like crap and not looking like it was going to react to the unpredictability of Jake Browning throwing a lot of screens. Who could have expected that a backup quarterback with a few reps would throw a lot of screens? Everyone. Fucking think it through, dickheads. But no, right, so they couldn't tackle on screens, they couldn't stop the run very well either, they couldn't cover downfield on the few attempts that they threw downfield. So it was going to be a shootout, and I was like, well, I can live with a shootout between Trevor Lawrence and Browning, that's kind of fine. And they got a nice 14-0 lead and everything looked fairly rosy, and then it spiralled downhill fairly rapidly. And 31 all. Second half, missed field goal. Everything just kind of added up to so many different missed opportunities to seal a win against a backup quarterback and a AFC side at the bottom of their division. It's just a classic Jacksonville, not used to being favourites in primetime, missed opportunity. And we've seen a few of those this season. It's weird that they're 5-0 away from home and 3-4 at home.
Do you think, I mentioned this last week about the Lions, do you think the primetime, is that a thing that would have affected them?
There was definitely players pre-match talking about, oh, I've never played in primetime before, this is exciting, we really need to go and show our best. And the narrative coming in was all, oh, this defence is sneaky underrated. Nah, it's not that the defence was sneaky exactly rated. I mean,
most of the roster would have had that win and in game from the final week of last season and a playoff game. Two playoff games. So, I don't They should be up for it. Just as
it's an act of expecting an easier ride than they got and not being able to kick back into gear. And I think there's players on that defense like Tyson Campbell who are coming back from injury maybe too soon and just can't perform at the level that they need to. That's certainly what it looked like in this one.
I also think that it was not favoured, but it was a tough ask for the Jags, and it was a good opportunity for the Bengals, because I do think at times you played well. I think some good defense at times, you did move the ball in patches. The inability, given how I guess ineffective Mixon has been, the inability to kind of get hold of him, particularly late, I think maybe was a bit surprising. Maybe you would look for that to improve. You're right. It was not an unexpected game plan, but I do. These type of results are NFL, right? That it was a rubbish situation for, well, not a rubbish situation, but a favorable situation for the Bengals and a tough out for the Jags. It didn't go either way.
I thought Brownlee played well. I know, you could say it's not Brownlee. What's his name? I said this last Browning. Yeah. Whatever his name is. He deserved me to remember his name. He played well enough for that. But I was sort of watching the game thinking, yeah, the Bengals are playing quite well. The Jags are keeping them in it. And then there was a moment, I think in the third quarter, maybe early in the fourth, where it was the momentum shifted, I thought, and Jacksonville were going to go on and win the game comfortably. And that was one of the funniest plays I've ever seen. And the Tyler Boyd pass straight to Josh Allen. It was like he saw Josh Allen, aimed for him, couldn't have thrown it better between his numbers. And as soon as that happened, it's like the Jags are going to just put their foot down and easily win this game. And then it unraveled.
Oh, they did put their foot down. You were half right.
I particularly like that two passes were thrown by the Bengals that weren't thrown by the quarterback, and they went from -7 yards and an interception.
It's very, nice when those don't work.
Very good. I think Browning's stat line is fucking outrageous for a backup that everyone was like, he's going to suck. Or maybe not he, but they're going to suck with the backup. 32 completions from 34 attempts, 354 passing yards, only the one touchdown. But I mean, the points on the points from the board, so it hardly fucking matters.
He got them down the field, and Mixon kept punching it in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they schemed him really, really well.
Just
and
superb.
At one point, he was 8 for 8 with an average depth of target of 4 yards, which, as we know, is enough for Justin Herbert to be in the MVP conversation. So why shouldn't a backup get plaudits for that?
obviously,
must have missed something, because there's no way he's actually in the MVP conversation. Is that
apparently Brock Purdy is, but that's NFC, so it's not barely worthy of mention. The other bad thing that happened, and maybe it's not too bad from the reports that are coming out of Trevor Lawrence's injury, which was friendly fire. Obviously, just really, really unfortunate. I don't want to ever be seen to laugh at an injury, and this is not what I'm doing, but I couldn't help but find it a bit amusing, some of the memes about Trevor Lawrence walking up the I-60 or hobbling up or walking to the hospital for his appointment the following day because he wasn't carted off. I'm relatively reliably informed that that was deliberate, and that he wasn't carted off. He didn't want to be. He could. There's something in the fact that if you've strained your ankle, actually gingerly walking on it isn't the worst, is like helpful. But the memes are still quite amusing.
It'll be amusing for you to be having a chuckle about it after you went at me for apparently laughing at Henry's expense last season when he went down injured. And I was like, oh, I was genuinely asking a question. And you were like, how dare you laugh at an injury? And I was like,
That's kind of why I said it, because that's not what I was laughing at, if you see what I mean, or trying to.
I did laugh about the situation because Trey Hendrickson was like, oh no, look, I'm really concerned for him. And instead of running to his aid or calling anybody on. He took a knee and prayed for him.
Well, Trevor Lawrence looked like he snuffed him, didn't he? He went to see if he's all right, and Trevor was obviously hurt. I'm not having any of this. Rolled away, I don't want to know you. And then he just knelt down beside him instead.
Takes a knee and says a little prayer like that's going to do anything, clown.
Trevor Lawrence looks like he's like obviously the ankle sprain might not be out for too long, but I think the injury to Christian Kirk is a problem.
Yeah,
I do think he makes a difference to that offense. And
although that rookie who came in, Washington, who came in and took a lot of his snaps, looked quite good.
Yeah, we had high hopes from him from preseason, and then he got an early season injury and disappeared. But no, 61 yards on 6 catches, he filled in pretty well. 100% to be the long term replacement. So
100% conversion rate as well. Every target was caught.
He didn't catch every punt that came his way. He muffed a fair catch, but then recovered it themselves. So that'll get glossed over.
That's something else entirely. Who cares?
Mm. No problem.
Yeah, I don't. You're being quite critical of the Jags, Pat, and I get that. But you're going to be watching the game with those tinted glasses on, looking probably finding fault in a lot of things. I just think. So yeah, you just met an opposition who maybe they caught you a bit underprepared because maybe there's complacency because it's a backup QB, but the Bengals look good.
They did, and you know if you'd played at or near your potential in all facets and lost a narrow game to a team who played really well, you'd be kind of fine with it. In this case, defense grossly underperformed compared to expectations. Special teams was mediocre compared to expectations. The only thing that was near to expectations was the offense. And we had the Lawrence injury. And it's just, they've established themselves as an in-the-pack side when they could have been establishing themselves as a proper number one AFC contender, particularly with the loss of the Chiefs, which I'm sure we'll come on to. So, yeah, it's a disappointing missed opportunity and a sign that we're a year or two away from really being at the absolute sharp end of where we want to be, which is kind of, I was hoping that we were closer than that.
I've played with the playoff machine today, which is always fun at this time of year. And I have Jacksonville as the number 4 seed going through what's to come. I have Kansas City, Baltimore and Miami as the other division winners, all with the same record. Tiebreakers, according to the machine, gives KC the bye, Baltimore number 2, Miami number 3. I have Houston going to Jacksonville. Cincinnati going to Miami, Cincy gets somehow getting in, and Indianapolis going to Baltimore. This is a world where potentially 3 AFC South teams make the playoffs, and I'm pretty sure that none of us predicted that.
Not after 4 weeks. I mean, given that they're 3-4 at home and 5-0 away, they might be better trying to let Houston take the division, playing the long game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Houston, yeah, we haven't played the Texans yet, weirdly, which is, I'm worried about anything. But although it's all relative, there's nothing riding on it other than draft picks.
They were good this week, but they were also lucky as fuck.
Yeah, Tank Dell going down.
Apart from that,
that's not lucky, obviously. And yeah, as he's looked great. Obviously, what's his name? CJ Stroud. I'm turning into terrible names. But yeah, they've massively exceeded expectations. Dell as an injury will be a blow to them, but I think they'll still find a way.
They seem to, and they, you know, as and when they need it, they get a nice ref call or a nice dropped interception from PJ Lock or an inexplicable Russell Wilson fumble. And with that sort of momentum on your side, you're going to keep rolling to wins.
It will help. They certainly do look like a playoff team. Do you? The 7 that I've got making the playoffs, does that seem about right to you?
I didn't see any that stood out as unlikely from that group. They're the most competent looking teams in the AFC, I think. And that's what it's going to come down to. Maybe the surprises.
The Bills missing out, which I have, which is partly due to who they've got still to play. And I don't think Mark's going to be disagreeing when he's listening. It's Miami in that division. The Bills just missing out. Remember the days earlier in the season when, with Aaron Rodgers coming back, could have been done.
I mean, before we talk about the absolute catastrophe that is the Jets, I think this feels like a weird season. I said it in the group. Like, obviously, we're talking about these teams, and you think about we got Kansas. I think Kansas played the Bills this week, don't they? And you think about that game at the beginning of the year and what you were thinking in advance, and now you consider it. I don't know. It feels. I don't know. It feels tricky. To be honest, I'd love to see Miami do really well. I think they are the most exciting team in football at the minute. And the idea that, you know, Brock Purdy's done really, really well. But for me, there's a standout candidate for MVP, and his name is Tyreek Hill. The guy is unplayable. I think that, what, you know, your general playoffs, that sound all right. But I think it also, there's every chance it changes over the next 2 weeks, because look how close people are.
Yeah, one key injury.
If it was predictable, we wouldn't watch rugby, obviously. There are a few... lots of really good matchups coming up, some like the Bills Chiefs, like you said at the start. The Bills need to go to Arrowhead and win. That's where they're at, and I don't think they will. Kansas City have just lost in Green Bay, so they've got that, as around the NFL will always say, that wounded animal game coming up. That was a weird one. We keep saying about the Chiefs, obviously Mahomes is the best QB in the NFL currently, and probably not in the MVP. Well, he's probably in the MVP conversation because he always will be, but maybe this is a year he won't win it. They've just lost a couple too many recently, but it was a weird game. Like I said in my review, I think there are only four or five possessions between the teams in the first half. Green Bay just kept having long, measured drives, and deliberate tactically. Obviously, it's great when it works, but if you don't allow Patrick Mahomes that many drives, it's going to give you a better chance. And they just have the opportunities. There's that. That's the potential PI messy call at the end, but you've got to keep it closer.
Well, that is the format to beat Patrick Mahomes, isn't it? That's your ideal game plan. I just, the Chiefs worry me in that they have this in them, and I just don't feel like they're a bit like the Bills. They just don't feel well enough rounded, and that reliance on Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce feels like too big a burden this year, considering the. I mean, I don't know. Is it talent in the AFC? I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe the nature of competitiveness within the AFC at the moment. I just think it's. I wouldn't be surprised if it is Kansas who ends up being the team to maybe not drop out, but, you know, looking more at wild card. And
they're going to win the division, but it's what they can do beyond that.
I still kind of expect them to go all the way or close to it, but they've had more than the number of bumps in the road that you'd expect, definitely. And yeah, the consistency isn't quite there, is it? Miami, though, as you say, they're the fashionable team at the minute. Do they have the full roster? Are they good enough on defense? Maybe. Maybe they've got enough because of how many points they're going to score. Your teams are going to have to score 30 plus points to beat them when it matters, and that might be too difficult.
The question mark over Miami is going to be consistently, can they beat the real top tier sides? Because they've lost to the Bills and they've lost to the Eagles and they've lost to the Chiefs, and everyone they've beaten is 6-6 or worse. So it's whether they look good, because they haven't really been strongly challenged yet. And with Cowboys, Ravens and Bills to close the season out, we'll have a better idea of that as we come into the playoffs and, you know, really see what the momentum looks like.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is, I think that's fair. And the defense is definitely a question. But I mean, I do think that offense is really good. And if Tua stays accurate and the running back coming back stays healthy.
A chain.
So I think they're, yeah. It's hard to watch. You know, there's sometimes you get these players like your Megatrons, like your Randy Mosses, like your Darrell Revises, where you just watch him, you think, you're the best. You're the fucking best at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love watching Tyreek Hill, and he just has really shown himself to be, I think the clearly standout wide receiver, certainly this year. But, you know, we're talking generational. This guy's unreal.
I was watching Florio and Chris Sims, that show on Monday, I think. And not that this was particularly insightful, but they were talking about his Tyreek Hill's 2 touchdowns, and how when you watch them back and they're analysing it, about how on both of them he makes little adjustments, because I'm guessing it's not that easy to throw to someone that fast and be absolutely on the money every time. And they were both deep balls, and just the little subtle adjustments he made. So it looks like when you watch it the first time, it looks like he's just caught these in stride and he's just gone, particularly that first one down the left-hand sideline. But both of them, he makes these really subtle adjustments to, obviously it makes Tua look good. Like, there's nothing that wrong with either throw, but just to see that, like, neither's quite perfect. And it just looks so, so good. And it's just a fine art. And he's absolutely at the top of his game. Obviously he's quick. That's the headline thing, but it's a lot more rounded than he probably gets credit for.
He's a football player. And this is what I said, in my review, is that you can't cover him with two guys. Like, most defenses will think, if we're going to just commit a safety to him, you take that player out of the game, you know, more often than not. You know, maybe they get 1 in 10 balls or something. But he can quite easily beat two men just because of that. Mm-hmm. He's obviously blisteringly quick, but a little shift of the hips, a recognition of what the scheme is, and he'll still blow it open. So you can't, you've got great matchups everywhere else and another lightning fast receiver the other side. I mean, when it works, and don't get me wrong, that we've seen it where it stutters and it's not maybe as, you know, it's not all coming together. And Pat, you know, you make the point about the competition, although I do think this year, because we've had some topsy-turvy results, they play good football, and when it works, it looks unreal.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that offense isn't brilliant to watch and really difficult to stop. It's more about, can they see it over the line in a slugfest against a really good team? And that's a question mark that will stay until they do it more frequently. But they haven't had the chance to, so it's not like it's not possible.
Next question, Nate. I had the Colts as 7 seed to finish 10-7 with a backup quarterback. That's not the only team I've got making the playoffs with backup quarterback.
Most of the teams in the league are at the moment.
Yeah. I don't see Gardner Minshew like that. I see he calling him a backup quarterback is unfair to how good he is. Maybe he lacks the consistency of some, but the wins he has under his belt for both the Jags and the Colts. It's funny how, looking forward to playing the Colts as a Titans fan, it didn't even enter my head the idea that, oh, it's fine, we're playing Minshew instead of Anthony Richardson. It's not even something that's crossing anybody's mind. Any reason why the Colts don't make the playoffs? Please give me one.
The Colts have lost a couple of games because of Minshew this season, because of silly decisions that he makes when the Colts are having to drive down the field to win a game. Not to say he can't win games. You know, he very much, the pass to Alec Pierce.
What a throw. What an absolute...
It just couldn't have been more perfect, could it? It literally landed exactly, precisely where it needed to. Pierce did very well to haul it in over the shoulder, you know, over the shoulder catch while he's being fouled by the clown chasing him. It was Wallace, wasn't it? The guy that had literally moments before...
made a phenomenal tackle and then taunted him and gave away the 15-yard penalty.
Done something incredibly stupid a couple of times in the game I saw. And he won every single big play the Colts had. The camera cut to the player making the catch or doing the run, and Wallace was there looking dejected next to him. single one.
Our secondary is an embarrassment, let me be clear. At the same time, that was pretty impressive.
While you guys were talking about the Jets, I was just doing the playoff machine shit. Annoyingly, I closed it. And then when you asked me about playoffs, I was like, oh, well, hang on. I went to reopen it and the cache didn't save it.
No, it doesn't remember, does it?
I had them, bizarrely, I had both the Colts and Houston making the playoffs.
Yeah, so did I.
The projected wins for the Colts was 11. And I was like, no, that can't be right. So I went back through and looked at the games. I was like, I put them down to lose against the Bengals and then went out from here. It's a very friendly route to
you losing to the Bengals. It must have been one other. I'm not sure, but maybe the Texans
in the final week of the season is the hardest game they've got left.
I think it might have been that one against the Steelers,
but
Bengals next week, Steelers week 15, week 16 is the Falcons, 17 is the Raiders, and 18 is the Texans.
Yeah, it must have been the Texans.
I trust Gardner Minshew, especially
without, and you know, Jonathan Taylor going down, if he's going to be out for a few weeks.
It's only a couple, isn't it? I think.
Two to three weeks.
Yeah.
I think Steelers is a tough match. Bengals is a tough match. Texans is a tough match. I don't know.
I don't think Steelers is as tough as it might have been 6-7 weeks ago.
Steelers
is a good example
of that QB going down is another issue. Injuries, man.
Yeah.
Is it an issue? I don't know. I don't think. Are they really that much worse with Pickett not being under center? I don't think they are. I think they could almost roll any old croc out there and they'd be as competitive.
I think it's amazing that they've got the wins they have.
Some of them, they've been very fortunate this season where they've won games that other teams have lost because they are losing them rather than the Steelers are doing something incredible and winning. Anyway, back to a team that matters, the Colts. I think if I remember correctly, I had the Colts coming in at number 6 and the Texans at number 7. All the way through to the last week, I had the Dolphins as the number 1 seed. And then I think I was like, oh, it would be very Dolphins to lose against the Bills in the last week and give Kansas the number 1 seed, wouldn't it? It would be very Miami
to
do something shit like that. I don't have the Bills making the playoffs, which is fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah, same. I think it's just down to who they've got to play, and their schedule is tough. Obviously, the Chiefs and the Dolphins. I think the Bengals. Oh no, they played the Bengals. Ravens maybe. It's just tough.
Bills will be right with us come playoffs.
Chiefs, Cowboys.
Oh, Cowboys, that was it. Although I think I had them beating Chargers. Dallas.
I certainly did not have them beating Dallas, Patriots, and then Miami. Mm. Yeah,
sorry, Mark.
I think it's the Colts making the playoffs is more in the Colts' hands now than it has been at any other point in the season. We are, you know, how many wins in a row is it now? 4, 5? It's weird.
Ugh. Make it stop.
Yeah, but we're not. But you know, we're not playing particularly brilliant football for long periods of time. It was very difficult to watch at times Sunday, as it is every weekend. We'll put an absolute stellar drive. You know, we'll go down the field in 5 plays, score a touchdown, and then we won't get anywhere near the red zone for the next hour.
Well, that was how the game started. We both scored with our first possession, and then. We were kind of on top for a lot of the game, in truth.
I mean,
and then the pump block happened, and then it just all went mad.
Which one, first or second one?
The first one. Well, the second one was technically a fumble.
I mean, I like the fact that they kept saying technically it's a fumble. It's been ruled a fumble because you look at it and it's like that's bullshit. That's just a pump block.
Well, it's not a pump block because he got to the ball before he punted it, so that's why it was even worse than a pump block from a special teams coordinator perspective. He has been fired, Craig Aucherman.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure any of it's his fault. Anything that happened on Sunday in that game on special teams is really his fault, is it?
Or assign somebody to block them.
I mean, the second pump block, which wasn't a pump block, the timing on the run from Brown, who blocks the punt, is incredible. He's seen that there's only a single blocker off the edge.
Why is there only a single blocker off the edge?
And he's ignored his assignment. He's literally sprinted in and is just in the exact position he needs to be in as the ball snaps to get to the punter at the same time the ball does. It's an incredible bit of football. It was similar. Who was the team earlier in the year? Was it the Pats or was it against the Pats where someone was just like, actually, if I just run at the defense, if I just run at the line as the ball snaps, they can't.
I think that
stop
might have
me.
Been the Pats, actually. It might have been the Pats.
And I said that week, we need to see more teams doing this because it's so difficult to stop because you have to dedicate at least one extra man, but potentially two extra men to stop it. And we saw it again on Saturday. Now, I don't think that was the assignment for the Colts. If it was, it's an incredible bit of
no, it wasn't.
And to be fair, I don't know much about any coordinators on other teams, but one coordinator, you know, the special teams coordinator in Indy, Bubba Ventrone, he's got the name that says that he would do that shit, doesn't he? He's got that name. He goes, yeah, he's a bit of a cad.
Well, Craig Aucherman is out the door to replace by Tom Quinn, who is a character from Spooks. So we'll see what happens. That was the straw that broke the camel's back with his job, though. It was dreadful. Some of the punt returning, it's just been woeful. And if your punter he's out for the season as horrible a looking play as the poor guy on the sideline of the Detroit Saints game. It was one of those that you don't want to see the replay. And
I assume that Henry's out.
Henry's fine.
Next week, is he?
No, Henry is fine despite your helmet to helmet assault.
Get in the bin, you soft bastards.
I don't mean that. If you look at it, he does catch him helmet to helmet, but a split second before that, another guy from the other side just hits Henry and his head lowers. And if you watch it from that angle, you realize that it's not the defender's fault, and nor is the injury to Stonehouse. It's all clean.
No.
As much as I'd love to go all in on that, it's fine.
It's funny, isn't it, that when one of the Titans fans' things has always been you can't stop Henry until you do, and then he leaves the game completely.
He was having one of his best games of the year.
He was excellent in the first half. No, but I mean, like, when someone finally does stop him, it's like, oh, he is fucking stops.
Everyone,
you have to knock him out of the game. I mean, you have to knock him out of the game to get him to go quiet more often than not.
Well, that's what you did, and you managed to get him, Jeffrey Simmons, and our third best player, Ryan Stonehouse, out of the game. So
Jeffrey Simmons injured himself, to be fair.
Yeah, that was
and then should never have come back.
He missed a play and came back. You've got to
understand why he came back, right? Like, I get it, but there has to be some sense on the sideline going,
I think eventually there was.
Jeff, mate, you are absolutely fucked. Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't think he's done anything serious, but he's going to miss kind of 2 or 3 weeks. But I'd rather wrap him up in cotton wool for next year, to be honest.
Do we really need a Colts Titans deep dive? I mean, I'm just saying what the rest of us are thinking. Sorry, lads. Am I right?
I watched this game, and by the end of that game, I'd seen enough of that game. I was happy not to talk about any more of it. One point, I wrote, Roger McCreary knows that they're playing for draft picks, and I cannot remember what the play was.
Trust me.
Probably accurate. Trust me, boys. what do you want to... Go back to the Jets?
I've got something I was going to say in the Jets, and then had to deal with my daughter, so I sort of missed a little bit of that Jets chat.
Well, we didn't actually get to the Jets chat. We spoke about Miami, and I'm not even looking to, but I will tell you the whole fucking organization. There's so much problems with. The general mechanism of the organization hasn't worked, right? It has not worked. And it is shit for fans. It is so shit for fans because Jet fans are truly proper fans. It is shit. It is not good enough. We spend so much money at the fucking... it's bullshit. It's not good enough. Completely let down.
As well as the fans, it's tough for players like Breece Hall, who I saw play... He caught a pass, made three people miss, and still got tackled for a -2 yard loss. And then he got up and was just shaking his head, like, what the fuck am I meant to do with that? You're just playing to get me splattered by fucking defensive backs.
What's the deal with, like, Zach Wilson saying that he's not even going to accept the starting job if it's offered back to him? So supposedly you turning on it. Now it's who you're trying to get...
So Rippin,
Rippin's lad, or yeah, Brett Rippin. Yeah.
So apparently happened yesterday. Was it yesterday or today? Salah had a presser around it, where it sounds like. And the thing is, this is one of the things about the Jets that you have to manage as an organization, right? Like everything is bigger, everything's a story. Salah basically said, Zach came to me. He says, I want the ball. I want to play. So he doesn't really comment on the reports around whether he said, I don't even want it I'm not sure I should play or whatever. But Salah says, it wasn't a conversation he had with me. Bro, if I'm Zach, I don't want to fucking play. What are you talking about? These guys, you've hung me out to dry time and time and time again. And fair enough, like I'm an athlete. I I've got to be responsible myself. I have not played well enough. So I got dragged. Fair enough. And then your ineptitude has been shown for all to see that clearly the problem isn't just me. I haven't played well enough, but clearly the problem isn't just me. And then you want to chuck me back out there to the Wolves again. I wouldn't want to play. But, and I say that, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to play. Of course you want to play, but I don't begrudge the man if he said that. And then he's gone straight to the boss's office and said, I want to play. I actually don't fault Zach at all. I'm not even massively saying there should be like a leadership change because I'm sick of that too. But it's bad, man. Supporting Man United, the Jets, is horrible.
small market team, that wouldn't have even been a thing. It's just that I think some of that is reporting, isn't it? This feels like the point that I'm going to quote a message from Rich on WhatsApp earlier, where he says, and I quote, "I look forward to listening on my drive home tomorrow. We've done a deep dive into the Colts Titans game. Now we're going into the Jets woes. The 49ers have just beaten the Eagles 42-19 in Philly." That's a passing mention.
They were good.
You got wilted.
Imagine how upset he'll be if we get to the end of this pod and we haven't actually given it serious chat.
I think I enjoyed
most from this was the summary was all, "Oh, the Niners got -6 yards in the first quarter."
One sentence previews, everyone.
Yes, but don't do the Niners.
I do have a comment on the whole, like, brotherly shove, tush push thing. Also, tush push is the worst name. But did anyone hear?
I think brotherly shove is worse. Still.
I'll tell you what's worse is push tush, which is what
push.
Not your man. Not Al Michaels, the other one, kept on bloody saying the other day. Anyway, like, I am really interested. I would love somebody in the know to break down why it works so well for the Eagles. Like, it is a weird thing to see something happen.
Buttock
such
size.
A high...
The size of the well, firmness of Jalen Hurts' buttocks.
Jalen Hurts and the 600-pound squat is obviously in Canton with, did you know that Jimmy Graham was a basketball player and that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard, obviously. But in real, I do think it's hard to get in it. Like, you know, look at Sean McVay with the Rams for that little while where the RPOs were just working and it just couldn't be stopped. And, you know, I think it's an achievement when you do that as a coach, and I just it is remarkably effective. I mean, you could make an argument, just do it every play. Why isn't it 50% of your play calls? Get 5 yards off two brotherly shoves, and you're in third and manageable every time. It's just it's an interesting
imagine doing that on first and 10 every time.
Brett Coleman on YouTube has actually got a. It's got a 15-minute video analyzing the play and exactly how and why it works so fucking well.
Lowman, is that what he's arguing? Is he talking about Kelsey and how good he is at winning?
Just watch it.
Okay,
that doesn't sound like something I want to watch.
It's called, the title of it's "How a Scottish Rugby Coach Made the Eagles Unstoppable." They stopped this week, but...
Well, yeah, it only works if you're third and two, third and one, fourth and one, often enough, isn't it?
And then once you've watched that, watch the 1 minute 26 clip from ESPN of Rex Ryan describing how to stop the tush push. That's fun.
But it's actually... A well-executed QB sneak has been around for years. And it's like some teams have always been better at it than others. This is just a bit of an extension of that. And I like, there are whispers that the NFL are going to try and tweak a rule to kind of stop it. But I don't know. They're just executing a play really, really well, aren't they? There's nothing like
that's literally all there is to it.
Like, it's not that groundbreaking.
But everyone can't do it. We've seen other teams attempt it and not have as much success. And it just looks, that's the point. It's that if it is, which, you know, on the face of it, it just looks like fantastic execution. That's hard. That's hard doing it perfectly every time and beating other super athletes who are trying to stop you doing it. It's a cool
thing. I
don't want lots of tush pushes.
I could imagine a weird scenario where in a big moment in a playoff game, they're going to try it and it won't work. I could just see this happening.
You've got to have a fake. It's going to be a fake, man. Definitely. That is coming.
We've seen that once already.
Yeah.
Again, the Brett Coleman video does go into analysing other teams doing it and exactly why it fails for them and why it works for the Eagles. And honestly, it's generally speaking, it's Jalen Hurts is better than everybody else sort of following the players that are actually blocking and driving forward. Whereas, you know, like Josh Allen does it and runs straight into his center and he's not going anywhere. Whereas Jalen Hurts, his two guys off the left are driving forward to theirs. Well, that's where he fucking goes instead of straight up the middle.
Who was it? Maybe it was Josh Allen. It was one of last week's games and the QB tried to go left of his left guard. And it was meant he was meant to go between the like basically follow his center as you would, and he's just that. I don't know if he saw
into a wall of players.
Yeah, maybe it was Josh Allen. There you go, Rich. Does that cover the 49ers? They battered them in the end. It was close for a while, but Christian McCaffrey, you know, he's all right. Debo. Bit special.
All right.
Brock Purdy's going to be MVP, apparently.
Oh, fucking hell.
I don't even want to talk about him. But the good thing, to the Niners' credit, they got a lot of ball players. You know what I'm saying? A lot of just proper football players. Game changers, playmakers. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be a tough out for anyone.
Even when you give up the world to get an absolute bust in Trey Lance, doesn't matter because the cap isn't real. Just go and get others.
Yeah.
Or luck out with your Mr. Irrelevant, whatever works.
Oh, sorry, Craig. I'm really sorry to do this to you, but that's something that happened in the Colts Titans game. Mr. Irrelevant scored a special teams return touchdown. Can't even remember his name, but he's just a dude with a crazy big ginger fro that's flowing behind him as he runs. whatever his name is.
Pat mentioned him in his one sentence review, I think. So Pat did his homework.
Mr. Irrelevant, final pick of the draft. Got a touchdown for the Colts this week. That was fun.
There you go.
He's looked superb, actually. I should really learn his name. But every time,
especially as a Colts fan.
Yeah, every time I see him on the field, he's fucking putting himself about and ruining someone's day. So,
I bet he's really good mates with Rodney Harrison.
Nice throwback. Right. Any other NFL business? I feel like.
Fuck the Cowboys. Okay. That's it.
Are Detroit going to be one and done having just fallen off a cliff in the last quarter of the season, or are they going to pick this up again? Because they struggled past the Saints, but they weren't hugely convincing. I don't know what to make of them still, and we're week like 14.
Oh, this feels like worryingly NFC chat, but yeah, I know what you mean. They had to, at least they won after Thanksgiving, because that could have potentially been a slippery slope. I think sometimes on the road, New Orleans, they're not great, but it's not an easy place to go. They're
lucky that the Saints are quite crap. That's basically what it comes down to.
That's why not you myself. That's why you sat through the game in 40.
I saw a Jimmy Graham touchdown in the year of our Lord 2023. I mean, you've got
him. He used to play basketball, apparently.
So I've heard, yeah. Recently, actually.
Who?
There you go. Should we preview some games? One sentence previews. Let's do it. Jesus Christ. Thursday Night Football is New England at Pittsburgh.
Why hasn't this been flexed?
Can't.
No, but why? It doesn't matter. Why hasn't it been flexed? See, surely also, that's a reason to bring the rule in.
See also two Monday Night Football games which can be flexed and weren't. We'll come to them. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
5-7 at 6-6 in the fight to win the NFC South. Gross.
LA Rams at Baltimore.
I think the Rams come. I think the Rams come out of the bye, one of the most feared teams in the AFC. This home game sets the tempo for their playoff run. That's fair to look on.
You bet the Ravens, right?
What did I say?
the refs.
What do I say? Yeah, definitely not.
Just
that is your opposite of what I meant to say.
Imagine if we were a professional podcast. Anyway, Detroit at Chicago. Both organisations involved will be rooting for a Detroit Lions win, so it probably won't happen. Indianapolis at Cincinnati.
Battle of the backup QBs. And I'll be honest, I'd low-key love it if Minshew led the Colts to a wild card spot.
Oh, get out.
Yeah,
Jacksonville at Cleveland.
This would have been a fun game for Jacksonville before last night.
Carolina at New Orleans.
Having left the game with an injury for the third time this season, if the Saints are without Carr for a period of time, it has a significant impact on playoff hopes, which somehow are very much still alive. Playing the Panthers with nothing to lose, tough out.
How did you manage to get 7 sentences on that game? Bloody hell. Houston at New York Jets. Each game that goes by is a game closer to Aaron Rodgers' retirement. Minnesota at Las Vegas.
Battle of mid.
Seattle at San Francisco.
Oh, the Seahawks are going to get fucked.
Buffalo at Kansas City.
Not quite the showpiece we would have expected at the beginning of the year. That said, I think a win for either team here gets them right back on track.
Denver at LA Chargers. Quietly and under the radar, I realise those two things mean the same thing. And under the radar, intriguing game. Have Denver reached their ceiling? Have the Chargers reached their floor? Plenty to play for at SoFi. Philadelphia at Dallas.
In contrast to the game.
Hey, Chuck.
In contrast.
Hey, by gum.
Oh, lovely. What's that dude? Regionalism? I don't know. We can laugh at it anyway. In contrast to the game in Kansas, this feels like a real showpiece. Two of the best teams in the AFC and division rivals. This is the game I'll be watching.
Up there in
finally.
Up there in Shaq.
Whip tea. It's dinner.
Supper. Tennessee at Miami.
Oh, the Titans are going to get fucked.
It might be 3 figures. Finally, Green Bay at New York Giants.
Packers are on a 3-game winning streak in arguably their hardest portion of the season and have a great chance to run the tables and win their last 8 to make a playoff spot that no one expected after their first half showing.
They absolutely will. I believe it. It's such a shame that probably Tampa are going to get a playoff spot and someone like that might miss out. Anyway, enough about the NFC, enough about the NFL. Let's get into some any other business. And I would be foolish if I didn't start with Craig. Always pick on the guy whose mic's on mute.
Cheers. So I got my new car the other day.
Humble brag.
And Mercedes. And
not so humble.
It was a funny
somebody's experience. Doing all right for themselves.
I'm assuming that's Partridge related.
No, not really.
No. Okay, good. That would be funny. Anyway, I was buying a car. Basically, buying a car is not how I like to buy a car, which has kind of forced me to stay with the same car. If you try and buy a new car now, it's very online. And even the salesman said to me, you know that you don't need me anymore. Like, you can literally just order this online. I can't even really do you a deal or whatever. And I was like, no, man, come on. I believe in you. But yeah, so I want to feel like I can at least negotiate. Luckily, I knew some, you know, a friend of mine works there. But anyway, just it was a weird thing. I don't want to, you're spending a lot of money on a car. It feels weird to just order it online. You get what I mean? Anyway.
This is the exact opposite of someone's AOB from the last month. I can't remember who it was.
It was Russ.
Russ, yes, that guy. I remember him.
Do you mean Ross?
Yeah. He did a kazoo, I think he said. He had a really good experience with.
But not selling a car.
No, buying a car.
Oh, okay.
Great, you don't have to leave. Don't have to leave the house. You don't have to deal with a bunch of pricks trying to rip money off.
Although I'm sensing that, Craig, you've got very much, you have different expectations of dreams from the car buying process to Russ.
I want somebody to be able to reassure me that it is what I'm hoping to buy. You know,
you want to be wooed in the showroom. You want them to come over, bring you a cup of tea and fondle your balls as they try and sell your car.
You want someone to lie to you and convince you that you've got something for 10 grand less than it's worth.
No, I really don't. What it's worth. No, I love the thing. I'll be honest. The reason that this sound like a dick, it was funny earlier, but the reason I like Mercedes is because you know what you're getting. We're not going there to haggle. We're not going there to negotiate. Everyone knows where they stand. And if, well, I know what I'm getting into and I'm all right with it. I don't want wheels insurance, but I would like gap insurance, and let's just move on and get this done. But I want you to make sure that it's the car that I want and it's got the shit that I expect from it, you know? So I need a human being to, I don't want to rely on me and reading what's on the screen. That's no. We see how I treat quizzes.
You treat quizzes with the lack of respect that you do, yet you're on here selling the benefits of gap insurance. What is this? I don't even know what we're doing here anymore. Pat.
I want to talk about airports and air travel because... I mean, I've not done it for a while. I came back from Germany last week or the week before, and it's like the whole thing is just set up to be as irritating and unpleasant an experience as possible. The airlines are all running to maximise profit and don't give a shit about how pleasant or otherwise the journey is. And that leads everyone to be like, well, I mean, I could pay for a bag or I could just take the piss and try and fit my entire house's contents into a fucking overhead locker. And the flight back was fully booked. And so they were saying before we boarded, everyone with two pieces of hand luggage, you're going to have to give us your biggest one and put it in the hole for free for you. And you could see everyone just going, well, if I just don't
avoid eye contact,
acknowledge the fact that that message has been played, can I just ignore it and take this on anyway? There's a guy sitting next to me with a wheelie suitcase thing bigger than what I checked into the hold with a bag loosely strapped to the top of it. And he tried to argue that was one bag. I was like, mate, we just want to get on the plane and go home. Stop being a dick. You can live without the contents of that bag for the hour and 15 minute flight from fucking Germany to the UK. The whole thing was just more unpleasant than it needed to be because everyone involved was unnecessarily selfish and short-sighted.
It's because they don't want to wait for the bag. That's the dream, isn't it? That's the thing.
And to be fair, I did wait for the bag as the carousel for almost as long as I was on the flight for, so I can sort of appreciate that a little bit. But at the same token, stop being dicks.
Yeah, but top tip, if you fly back into Stansted, you'll be in the queue to go through passport border check for so long that your bag will be there waiting for you. It's fine.
Genius.
Yeah. No need to worry about that. People are selfish dicks. Who knew?
Increasingly so. That's the frustrating thing. It's not heading in a better direction.
Okay. Nate, dare I ask?
Much like last time, I don't have anything.
This is where I need to move on very quickly.
Yeah, no, nothing. I don't want to. If there are things that are bothering me, I just don't want to fucking talk about them. So there it is.
I guess that's good with me. That's good with me. Moving on. Do I need to lower my voice a bit? Maybe I do. My wife has purchased some smart light bulbs.
Ooh.
No, not ooh.
Oh, he's gross.
Why do you need to replace things that work with things that don't? What?
Because we don't want to use our hands, Adam. I'd rather use my voice as I walk in, saving all of my energy at the extremities of my fingers.
But sitting on the couch watching Gogglebox.
Yeah.
But using your voice and whatever command being misinterpreted for something else.
Well, there's a simple solution. Don't talk like you've got balls in your mouth and you won't get misunderstood.
There's a message for Mrs. Foxcroft.
I mean, she knows how I feel on both those matters. Yeah. I get technology. I love technology. Like we're using technology in places we don't need it.
Mm-hmm. I've got light bulbs, smart light bulbs fucking everywhere in my house, and I fucking love it.
Of course you do.
I walk in the kitchen and there's a sensor that detects that someone's there and turns the light on for me. And then when I leave, I don't turn the light off and it turns it off after about 30 seconds of no activity.
Motion sensor would be good. I could understand that. This doesn't do that. It just does the opposite of what you want it to.
It only works in some rooms, right? The motion sensor stuff. But you don't want that in your living room because you're sitting down to watch a film, motion sensor, someone moves their arm. Blast the light, you're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You've got us onto it, and so now I do have one. Actually, I've probably spoken about it before. It's just that I used to have my kettle plugged into a smart plug, and my wife would never fill the kettle up. So it rendered it the whole thing utterly useless. But the idea was you fill the kettle up at night. You put it, or you get it all ready, you flick it on because there's no power, it just sits there doing nothing. And then at like 8 a.m., it just goes on, and there's a freshly boiled kettle for you to make your cup of tea. Literally, just a tiny little thing. I was like, that'd be cool, but it never worked. And then what really pissed me off about it is my mum was like, oh, it's so lazy. No, I'm sorry, it's not lazy, it's just doing things in a different order. I'm filling the kettle and flicking it on. At the end of making a cup of tea, instead of just doing it at the beginning, it's literally, if anything, there's one more step because I either have to set up the automation or I have to say turn the kettle on, right? So there's an actual extra fucking step. It's just doing things in a different order. And like so many people, like, it's really lazy. I'm just like, no, you're just a mong.
I'm sure we had this conversation before because I think I suggested to you that you need a tea's made.
I think so, but yeah, I've been feeling a little bit belligerent recently, so I might put it back. I've still got the plug somewhere. Might put it back and just big fuck off to the world. Well, not the world, just my wife, really.
Belligerence is what keeps us all going.
Absolutely.
Okay, for any other biznai, is that the plural of business? Pretty sure it is.
Now.
Yeah. Biznai.
Let's go. Another one in the books.
Nice one, boys.
Absolutely love it as ever. Go well. That's it.
I made it through without dying.
Congratulations. Are there any Oreos left? Did any of them see the end of the pod?
No, there aren't. Oh, no, there are in the cupboard. They're not on my desk.
No, I know.